God with us. So we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you have a Bible and you're following along, I'm doing a Christmas series, the incarnation, meaning the God who is with us, and Emmanuel. And today is Emmanuel in the midst of a pandemic. And we are all facing a pandemic. This is the first time our generation has faced something as big as this. And many generations before us have faced difficulties and all that. But in Matthew chapter 1, 20 through 23, let me go through this and then I'll read. It's also on the screen, I believe. But after verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this morning, the title is Emmanuel in the midst of a pandemic. And then Hebrews 1:1-3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son, listen to this, very important for us this morning. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So God radiated glory comes through Jesus Christ. Okay. So if you remember last year about this time, we began to hear news from Wuhan, China, that thousands were this unknown virus was coming. So can you imagine a year ago? And we started hearing that this virus was killing thousands of people. And then finally we started seeing more and more news, and then February hits 2020. And then in March 2020, the whole world was dealing with this horrible virus as this pandemic spread exponentially. At the time, we tried to compare it with the common flu, and the death rate was only 2%. We're like, it's not a big deal. You know, we'll just do something. But then here in the United States and many other countries, they took unprecedented steps. They began to shut things down. They began to tell people shelter at home in a sense. And for some of you, I know you were shocked, but the NBA, the NHL, and the NCAA, March Madness, all canceled. Wow. You know, like that really, I mean, it was bad because they were spreading it. Universities, theaters, schools, businesses, even churches were beginning closing doors, and some were doing online only. And of course, we had to do that. Senior living centers and nursing homes were placed on lockdown. Many nations, I said states and towns also required lockdowns or stay-at-home orders. And so fear and panic, do you remember that fear and panic cause hoarding? Do you remember that? I mean, people, you would go look for toilet paper, hand sanitizer, mask. I mean, it was crazy. Remember that? It was all crazy. And so this COVID-19 pandemic really, truly rocked our world, and it made us say, "Oh my goodness, we're fragile. This is kind of hard." And sadly, it stressed the healthcare systems all over the world. And then even more sadly, this today, right now, the death toll globally because of COVID-19 is 1.6 million and growing. And here in the U.S., it's over 311,000 and growing. And so this is not the first time humanity has faced pandemics, and this will not be the last time. And in the biblical times, typically pandemics occurred, but they were called plagues or pestilence. And pestilence, if you look in the word, you don't have to do it now, it is mentioned over 50 times in the Bible. And oftentimes, if you now go back over 2,000 years ago, in the time of Jesus, not only did they have pestilence and plagues and all that, then they were also dealing with bad rulers. They had bad economy. There was no health care system at all. There was no such thing as health insurance. Doctors and science and medicine were in its infancy at all. And then they were dealing with marauding raiders that would come into towns or villages and take whatever they want and ravage their communities. And so these people were looking for deliverance. They were looking for help. They were looking for divine comfort, just like we are today. And so you say, well, what does this pandemic have to do with Advent and Christmas? And I'm going to say this, everything. Everything. It reminds us that we need God with us. We need Emmanuel. So you see, just like fear was in the air then, fear is in the air today, just as it was. And again, think about this. In this time, back in Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago, or in Israel and the whole known world, they were under the occupation of the Roman oppressive empire. They had a homicidal ruler named Herod. And then they had cold religious leaders who were more concerned about rules than they were the relationship. And then a baby is born. His name should be called Jesus. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And it changed the world for better. And Christmas is, listen to this, it's all about hope. Come on, say hope. It's all about hope. It's not fearing. It's having a God that understands our struggles. He's come in the form of human to understand. And again, this is what Emmanuel, God with us, is all about. So the first thing, if you're taking notes, number one is Isaiah called it. I mean, some of you said that, well, I called it, I knew it, you know, and anytime someone has to tell you they've called it, you know, I knew that that was that, but it's really when it's written down and recorded, and then years later it's called and it comes true. And so Isaiah called it, his prophecy called it out. So they were also living in a divided nation. Israel had been split. 735 years before the Messiah, Jesus, would come, they were still about two centuries into division. One group wanted to follow Solomon's son. Another group decided they wanted to follow another. So their nation was divided. They had a shared history, a common language, same faith. And even at times they would join together to fight a common enemy. And you see, we're living in very similar divided times where division is growing and it's causing more grief amidst the pandemic. And you see, God then at this time, during Isaiah's time, he promises Ahaz, he's one of the kings, and Ahaz asks for help. He promises, your son will be born, there will be peace during your time. But he says more specifically, Emmanuel will come to save the people, and he will come at a future date. So God is with King Ahaz during this time, and then God sends his son, Emmanuel, who is now with us today. Say that, he is with us today. And so letter B, it's a promise that comes true. Okay? Isaiah called it. Say that. Isaiah called it. Put that in the chat right there. In fact, Isaiah was probably one of the most, his prophecies are so profound, and many of them, all of them came true or are coming true. And so much of what he predicted came to pass. And this should be reassuring to us. If you read the Bible, you read Isaiah, many of the prophecies have come to pass and or will come to pass. This is much better than those YouTube prophets. Come on, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing YouTube prophets. And, you know, again, I know I alluded to this, but one said that, you know, the rapture was going to happen in October, that the United States would be bombed. And it was all about her getting followers. And so, Christians, you need to know that the prophecies of God, I mean, anyone can say you're going to live or die, 50-50%. I mean, that's easy. Anyone could look at the Bible and try to make prophecies. Man, we just got to be careful. Come on, right? Be careful of these YouTube prophets, these prosperity preachers, and the doom and gloom false prophecies. It all has to be checked by the Bible. Isaiah was checked out. Come on, amen? And so the book of Isaiah has more than 60 references or direct quotations in the New Testament. Every generation of Jews that followed Isaiah's prophecies had hoped that the Messiah would come during their time. And sadly, even in our time, we're still hoping a Savior will come. Maybe it's in the next politician. Maybe it's in the next business, the next iPhone, the next thing, the next something. And the reality is the Messiah has come. His name is Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. And see, God fulfills this promise. Again, Matthew 1, 22 and 23, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, speaking of Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So then God fulfills his promise. Listen to this. This is very important. Joseph and Mary are not only witnesses to it, but they are part of it. They are included in God's plan. And this promise of the Messiah coming still affects and helps the world today. Emmanuel, God with us, gives each of us an opportunity to be included with the promise of God. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. Just think about that. Each of us have the opportunity to be part of a prophecy that has become fulfilled. And you see, God likes to work through humanity. He wants to save us. He wants to help us. And so the question for us online and in this room is, how will we respond to Emmanuel, God with us? Will we just keep saying, where's God? Where's God? When the whole time we've missed him by he came in the name of Jesus Christ and he'll come through the church, which I'll talk about that in a minute. So number two is the incarnation, meaning how God came to live in the flesh. And God experiences humanity. As again, I'll read it again, Matthew 1, 21 through 23. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this is where it is. Number 2A is he became human in Jesus Christ. God became human in Jesus Christ. It's hard to explain. It's hard for us to understand that. But we will trust anybody on social media. They'll put up a false thing, a deep fake, and we'll believe it. But we have a hard time believing that the God of the universe who created everything could come in the form of humans. We believe in aliens. We believe in a zombie apocalypse. We believe in Jeff Bezos. We believe in a politician, but we struggle to believe in God, the creator of the universe. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather believe in the God of the universe who never lies, who always has good for us. And so he becomes human in the form of Jesus. This child would be both the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus would be fully human and fully God. The Gospels would attest to the things that we would expect. Listen to this. I've got to read this to you. This is from another pastor. He said this. Jesus heals. He opens the eyes of the blind. He forgave sinners. He miraculously feeds thousands. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He calmed storms. He casted out demons and he conquered death. Jesus is not merely God. Listen to this. Jesus is not merely God wrapped in human flesh, God in a body. No, he became fully human. He completely became human to understand and to know what you and I go through. This is awesome. You should be shouting. You should be speaking in tongues if you believe in that. If you don't, then I pray that you can feel the Holy Spirit, because that's a great experience. Letter B is this. Is Jesus experienced all that we experience? He understands that. Jesus experienced the human experience. In Jesus, God experienced love, hunger, temptation, joy, grief, doubt, rejection, a sense of abandonment by God, and even death. Did you hear what I just said? God experienced everything that we as humans dealt with. And this again reminds us of why we need to worship God and why Christmas is important, because especially now, I mean, all of us, our world has been rocked because of this pandemic. Listen to this. Jesus wept. He bled. He suffered. He was mocked. He was denied. He died, and then he was resurrected. Why not put your hope in a God who knowingly understands your struggles, who knowingly understands your weaknesses, who knowingly understands what you're going through right now? Many, many right now are saying this has been a terrible time for mental health, mental illness. We've all struggled. We've all been going through what's going on. We've all been going through a depressing time or anxious or weary and worried. Like, what's going on? What's going on? God understands that because he lived in a human form through Jesus Christ. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Say that with me. Emmanuel, God with us. The third thing of this, number two, is God can be called on because he understands. You see, Jeff Bezos, and God bless him, but he doesn't understand your and my struggle. Most politicians don't understand what it's like to have to say, okay, we can't pay the rent this month because we have to pay for health care. They might have it one time, but they don't. But God understands all that we go through. God doesn't just imagine. Listen, he doesn't just imagine what we go through. And you might ask that question, how can an all-powerful God really know what it's like to be weak, to be scared, to be tempted, and to be living under oppression? Well, he became Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God knows the smell of rain. God knows the enjoyment of a warm meal with friends or family. He has witnessed the beauty of the morning sunrise or the sun setting. He celebrated the weddings of friends. But he also experienced the same frailties that you and I experience. the frustrations, the temptations, and the desires of the flesh. In fact, Hebrews 4:14 says, "This high priest, Jesus of ours, understands our weaknesses. For he faced," listen, "he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." Verse 16, "So let's come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Because see, Jesus understands because he went through it. You should be shouting. You should be excited. Let me read this to you from a pastor, Alexander Hamilton. Adam Hamilton said this: "When you go to God, pouring out your hearts, asking for help or praying for forgiveness, you pray to one who knows, who understands what it's to be fallible, who understands what it is to be frail and fearful. This is the power of the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us." This is the wonderful message of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. In the midst of a pandemic, God knows what you're dealing with right now. He's felt it. He understands it. So the third thing, say the third thing, ready? God reveals himself to humanity. God reveals himself to humanity. And I love Christmas time, and I love the traditions, and of course I love the Christmas carols, and I love the concept that God came to us in the form of humanity. And so the question we always have is, have you ever seen God? And some of us try to put God to a test, and we think we're smarter than God. Well, God, if you're true, then do this. If you're true God, then make these lights turn blue and green and explode or something simple. Let me tell you something. God is not some circus monkey, and there's an organ grinder. We're like, God doesn't do little tricks. God created the universe. In fact, a college student asked a pastor one time, "Have you ever seen God?" And this pastor responded, here's his quote: "I began by reminding him that the universe is, by some calculations, about 93 billion light years across." That's huge. A light year is how far light travels in a year, approximately 186,000 miles per second, almost as fast as some of you drive up and down 270. And some suggest that the universe is much better. Think about this: the God of all creation, who stands outside creation, he created that, and he then became human. You see, Isaiah 45, listen to this, Isaiah 45, 18-19, "For this is what the Lord says: He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited." Thank you. "He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." So he's saying, I've made you to have a relationship with you. And Moses, one time in the desert, and as he's leading the people, he says, "Show me your glory." And here's his interchange with God in Exodus 33:18-20. "Then Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But," verse 20, "but he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." The glory of God. Do you remember a few years ago, a couple years ago, we were able to witness a solar eclipse in the northern hemisphere, and specifically here in the United States. And we were warned not to look directly at it. You have to have a special lens. In fact, we're still warned, don't look directly at the sun. So think about that. The power of a solar eclipse. How far is the sun from the earth? It has so much power. Think about this. The God who created that, his radiance, his glory, cannot be understood or fathomed or seen by humanity. But, listen to this, "but the God of all glory made a way for us to see God, and it was in the image of Jesus Christ." Colossians 1:15, "the Son," listen, "the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Hebrews 1:3, I said it again earlier, and I'm going to read it to you again. "The Son," listen, "is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And he had provided purification for sin. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." So God says, "I'm going to show you my glory, but it's going to be in the form of humanity through the Son, Jesus Christ." So have you ever seen God? Well, if you've seen Jesus in his works, then yes, you've seen God. In fact, John 14:9 says, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me," this is Jesus speaking, "anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show the Father? How can you and I say, God, if you're God, then prove yourself?" He doesn't have to. He's already done it. All creation. I mean, if you look at the stars, he knows all the stars. He has a name for them all. This is powerful. The sun, which we either love or hate, it warms us. It helps us to grow. It's healthy for us. This God created this. But he had said, "That's not enough. I'm going to come to them and be with them." And so have you ever seen God? Yes, through Jesus Christ. So letter B, we see God most clearly when we look at Jesus. This same pastor, Adam Hamilton, said, "When I picture what God is like, God's character, his love, his mercy, grace, I see Jesus." Think about this. You want to know what God looks like? You look at it and you see it through Jesus Christ, through the lens of Jesus Christ. You see, this pastor went on to say, "I see him loving broken people and eating with sinners and tax collectors. I see him healing the sick and restoring vision to those who are blind. I see him touching the lepers who are treated as untouchables and restoring them to community by healing their afflictions." We see God through Jesus Christ, who came to restore us to him. When we pray to a God who is with us and for us. Amen. So number four, God is with us. God is with us. Jesus continues to be with us today. In fact, I love this. The book of Matthew begins by telling us that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And at the very end of the book of Matthew, the gospel, Jesus' final words to the disciples are, listen to this, "I am with you always to the end of the age." So Emmanuel comes with us. And then before he's taken back to heaven, he says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Isn't that exciting? You can bank on that. You can stand on that promise all the time. Jesus continues to be with us. Say that. Jesus continues to be with us. Put that in the chat wherever you're at. He is with us. And because he's with us, because we've seen him through Jesus Christ, we can live differently. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in doubt. I know we struggle. We all do that. But because he is with us, we can have real peace. We can have real strength. We can have real comfort through the Holy Spirit and that his presence, that he loves us. And my question for you online and my question for us today is this. Will you allow Emmanuel, God with us, to be with you? Will you do that? Will you stop making excuses? Will you stop putting fear as your God, or money as your God, or politicians as your God, or someone else as your God, and say, "You know what? They can't save me, but Jesus Christ can. And he promised that he would be with me forever and ever. He would never abandon me." Will you allow Emmanuel to be God with you? You see, God is with us, and we do not need to fear. We all fear. We all fear. We all struggle. We all, especially during this pandemic time, we're struggling. We're like, "What's going on? What's going to happen?" We don't know what's going to happen in 2021. I'm praying for a miracle. I'm continue praying for God's work. Because God is with us, we do not need to fear. You look at the Bible, and many times people feared and became afraid. And throughout the Bible, God reassured his people. And he said many times, I don't know how many times it's in there, "Do not be afraid. Fear not." In fact, Deuteronomy 31:6, as the children of Israel are to go into the promised land, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be terrified because of the enemy or those around. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." So he starts that in the Old Testament. Jesus says it in Matthew, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." See, the incarnation was God's way of putting flesh on this promise, God is with us. Let me read that to you again. The incarnation was God's way of putting flesh on his promise that God is with us. Whatever you're going through today, online, in the room, maybe you're going to watch this later, whatever you're going through, you can be assured that God is with you. Say, "God is with me." See, I love this in 2 Corinthians 4:7-9, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. For we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You see, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us where you're at today, right now, where you're online and you're struggling in this room. I'm telling you, I had doubts and struggles this week. But I know, and I said, God, you're with me. Why am I worried? Why am I fearing? Well, Pastor, you don't get it. The Congress says, my faith is not in Congress. My faith is in God. Pastor, you don't get it. You could die. That's right. I could die, but my faith is in God. Whether I live or die, I will trust God. I'm not making light of your struggles. We're all struggling. But God is for us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? And God is with us. He has not abandoned us. He is here with us. And this brings me now to my final point. This is just as important the rest of the message, that God, Emmanuel, is with us. And the fifth thing is our mission. Our mission is to incarnate the love of God. It is the church's mission. It is the follower of Jesus Christ. See, the Christmas message is not just about blessing you, not about making you feel good, not about just giving you peace, but about helping those around you who don't have Jesus Christ. You are Jesus to them. You are God's representative to them. So letter A, Christians are intended to incarnate God to this world. In other words, you're God's representative in the flesh to your coworkers, your families, your friends, your neighbors, even your enemies. And church people are asking, like, now, where's God in the pandemic? God is you to them. God is in you. You are God to them. And the church must stop thinking it's the pastor, it's the evangelist, the prophet, it's the next president, or it's the next singer. It's you. You are God's incarnate instrument of love to a hurting world. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you, say me. You are the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? Exactly. Each one of you is a part of it. Do you see that? Each one of you is part of it. Say, I'm a part of God's body. Come on, you're like... Ephesians 4:16, from Him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let me say that again. As each part does its work. It doesn't say Pastor Stan. It doesn't say the president. It doesn't say your mom. It doesn't say your dad. It says that as each part does its work. God intends that the followers of Jesus Christ put on the flesh and live as God to them. Are we loving to our neighbors? Are we loving to those who don't agree with us? Are we loving to those around us? Are we loving to our enemies? You see, God intends you to be God to them. We keep thinking the next president, the pastor, the apostle, the evangelist, or the prophet are supposed to be God incarnate to them. I can't around me, but you are God's representative at your workplace, in your home, your neighborhood. See, I want to talk about this. There is this unhealthy and theologically wrong mindset that gets into the church, thinking that if the pastor doesn't do it, then God is not in it. That's such a lie from the devil. God can work through, because it says each part, every one of us are the body of Christ. You see, then what happens then is included in this unhealthy and theologically wrong mindset is that there's unreal expectations that the pastor must be involved in everything. He must be at every meeting, or the pastoral staff must know everything about every person. That's impossible. Only God can do that. And the body of Christ being like that everywhere we go. You should be saying amen to that. You see, what happens when the body of Christ visits and cares for a person, brings meals, prays for them, helps them, and then that person or that group says, the church didn't do anything to help. Well, excuse me, the church was there. You are the church. If you're a believer online, you are the body of Christ, and this is what Christmas is about. Stop thinking it's someone else's job. It's your job. God intends that you are God. It's representative to them. Paul says that we are Christ ambassadors. And if you think about an ambassador, they have the full authority of their country. When they go to another country, they have the full authority to represent their kingdom. And you being an ambassador of Christ, you are the exact representation of God to your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. And until the church gets a hold of this concept, we are going to continue to see the world just unravel. Until each of us say that, you know what, I am God in the flesh, not God, but I'm His representative to my family, my friends, my co-workers, neighbors. In fact, each of you are called by God. 1 Peter 2:9, you are not like the world. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others. Listen, did you read that in the New Living Translation? You can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Do you want to see this church grow? Do you want to see the church grow in the world? Each of us need to say, I am God's representative and I can make disciples. It's my job at my work, my school, my home, and my neighborhood. So letter B is this. How are you showing Jesus to a hurting world? Worship team, if you're ready, come up in a minute now. You actually just come now. How are you showing Jesus to a hurting world? Not only are we called to be Christ's representations to the world, but He gives us His authority. He gives us His power. Well, Pastor Stan has shown me. It's in the Bible. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be a light. In this church, we've done it multiple times. We've shown you how to be a disciple. We've shown you how to win the lost. How many more times do you need to say, no one's showing me, when the Bible's clearly showing you how to do it? Just go. In fact, Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Church, will you take the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You see, that's what God gives us, the Spirit. Think about this. When the New Testament church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, they didn't have Bible study classes. They didn't have a class in evangelism. They were received the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and they went out in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit told them what to say and told them how to do it. And if we call ourselves Pentecostals, we should be moving with the same kind of unction. Don't tell me how Pentecostal you are if you're not actively out telling other people about Jesus Christ, if you're not actively trying to make disciples, if you're not actively praying down strongholds, and you're not out there actively loving the unlovely. You see, the Pentecostal churches began to say worship is about me and making me feel good. And this Americanism gospel is so wrong. It's not about you feeling good. It's about us being the light of Jesus Christ. And I know I'm getting a little rough on some of us online and here. You are God's representative. You are God incarnate because Jesus lives in you and the Holy Spirit's empowering you. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power, that word power means dunamis, means miraculous power. His miraculous power has given us everything we need to live a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. We are called by God. If you're in the room, would you stand with me online? You can stand if you want, or you can sit there whenever you want. We are called to be God incarnate to a hurting world. It's not just the pastoral staff, it's not just the elders, it's everyone, every person. You are God incarnate to your world around you. You see, you have influence that I will never have influence. And I kind of laugh, and I will come and help you anytime I can. But I kind of get a little bit of a chuckle when someone tells me, Pastor Stan, I have a friend and they have this need and they have this friendship with that person. And then they ask me to come and show up. And that person's kind of, yeah, okay, it's great. But they don't even know who I am. But they have you right there and you're a friend and they trust you. But I'm just a preacher. I'm not, oh, he's one of those preachers. I'm not one of those kind of preachers. But you're God's representative to that person. They know you. They trust you. Well, Pastor, I don't have... Well, right there, I just read to you. His divine power has given you everything you need. Acts 1:8 says, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you. Jesus came. He gave you a salvation. He puts His presence. He gave you His power. Will you now obey His command to go and make disciples of all nations? Will you be the Christmas message to your family, your friends, your coworkers? I don't know about you, but the government's going to continue just to be bog along. The next president, the next king, the next billionaire, they're not going to save the world. Only Jesus Christ will do it through the church. And each of you are part of it. Say, I'm a part of it. Come on, say, I am the body of Christ. I am Christ's ambassador. So the message for us is not just about us being feeling good, but it's about us going out and helping people to know Jesus Christ. The conclusion is this: Jesus is God with us. And He calls us to go in His name to incarnate God's love to others who don't know Him. So if you're joining us online, maybe in this room, and you say, you know what, I need this Jesus. I need Him to save me. Pastor Stan, I've been watching you for a little while now, and I'm at that point. I need God with me. I want to accept Jesus Christ. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I want Him to be the Savior of my life. You see, the Bible is very clear. It says, just call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. If you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. You don't have to come to the altar, but if you're in the room, you want to, you can. Online, if you're going to watch this now, you just have to say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Be the Lord of my life. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I accept Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. Father, I pray for those that are online or maybe in the room that haven't accepted Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, they would accept Him and He would be their Savior. And then, Lord, I pray for us in this room that we would not, if we've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we would receive it, because Jesus, you told the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. You commanded the church. And the Holy Spirit isn't just to make us feel good. It isn't just to have good worship service. It's for us to go out and be the exact representation of Jesus Christ in the power of God. We can lay hands on people. We can speak over darkness. We can set the captives free through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living in us. So I pray for a whole new spiritual renewal in this church, God. That in a pandemic that people are dying, they're hurting themselves, they're drinking themselves to oblivion. People are ending their lives and we have the answer and we're waiting for someone else to do it when we are the representation of Jesus Christ. We are. Will you send us out? Lord, just as when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon the new church, they didn't wait around. They just went out and you told them what to do. You told them what to say and you are with them, God. And that same message, that same power is still alive in the church today.